So we pray, Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your presence here, Lord. We know you have not left us. Even if you had, we have the living word indwelling us, Lord, in that great promise made manifest to us, that we know who you are and we know who we are and we know relationships and sonship and those things that are so important, Lord, and growing more up into it with Christ becoming more and more the headship. And we know that's happening, as Brother Branham said, in a bride somewhere. If we're not bride, there's a bride out there, and by the grace of God will not stand in her way, but like friends of the bridegroom, stand by to rejoice and to cheer them on, Lord. Position the foolish virgin would be fine, anything we have predestinated us to, Lord. But we believe we have a higher hope and a calling at this moment, and we give you glory, Lord, that we have learned those blessed truths and secrets and revelations, Lord, which have been hidden for so long by reason that they were never fully manifested and fully run their course, but now they are, and all things are wound up in you. And we just appreciate that fact, Lord, and trust we will not only just believe it in the sense that it is there because we have some kind of a conscience, but Lord, down deep within our hearts, by way of our minds and spirits, we have this engrafted word which is going to transfigure and transform us. And so we appreciate that and trust, Lord, we'll hear more of that great word that is doing the work already, proving it can do it, proving it is doing it, and therefore will consummate it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're on to number two of things that are to be. And last Sunday we took all our time. We just had one paragraph there, too. On page three, we took all our time looking at the fact that all the peoples of the earth will be judged someday by the word of God. Now, this sermon that Brother Branham preached was the third and last warning to a mixed crowd. Now, he did preach actually three times in California, came home and preached the one-time communion in Jeffersonville. So this is the third sermon, the first of the last three, four altogether, and that series, and four is completion. Never went anyplace else and preached anything or said anything. And the warning, of course, was to a mixed crowd. Although he credited most of them with being Christians, we do know that there was a mixed crowd there, a peripheral group outside of Los Angeles. And many of them, we believe, because he was with the full gospel businessman who sponsored him when he preached the choosing of a bride, where he prophesied concerning the fall and destruction of Los Angeles, going on sliding into the sea even as Capernaum. And you may be interested to know that Brother Branham told Billy Paul as they stood in front of the May store on 3rd Avenue, he said, Billy, if sharks aren't swimming here in either a lifetime or sometime, he said, I'm a false prophet. Did you know, which I could have told you and neglected to tell you, that an earthquake that followed the one, the recent one, that devastated a great deal of Los Angeles, actually another one with its epicenter, its exact center, is in a town. I think it starts with the word north, but I'm not sure. When it hit, it absolutely demolished the May department store. So you got a forerunner right there of how things are happening. And Brother Branham said, when all this shaking really begins to come, you better believe it's going to happen. And again, they're talking about the big one that is coming. So he's talking to this peripheral crowd. And, of course, you know that they are not receptive. As I told you, when Brother Branham spoke of the woman's place and the word of God, they just laughed him to shame. Just a big joke. Just mocked him and giggled. And they were there for one purpose only, if you want to put it down. That was to attempt to impede the word of God and seal their own destruction. I'm sorry to say that Covina is not the only place that is going through this, because the same message that Brother Branham preached is being preached by many people with even greater insight than he gave to the people then, because one of his last charges was to the preachers to break it down and feed it to the people because he himself did not have time. So the sermon, though one not about warning of the judgment to come, though containing it in a limited manner, his preamble was one of judgment and warning them that it would be on a strict principle that he enunciated. So, we took all our time looking at the fact that all the peoples of the earth will be judged someday by the Word of God. Brother Branham combined two scriptures when he made this doctrinal statement based on Hebrews 9, 26, 27, and 2 Corinthians 5. Well, we can hit Hebrews 9 and then whirl back. And you all know, of course, what that is. We've read it many times. You have a good idea. And it says, For then he must often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, that includes everybody in the general sense of that term. But after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So, all right, you've got a second appearing. Doesn't say coming, there's an appearing. And at that particular time, there will be a people without sin unto salvation. And Brother Branham brought that out to us. Now, in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and in the 10th verse, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, or the things of his body, according to that that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, if you remember, Brother Branham said you were given a body in order to be tested and tried. So therefore, any sin is going to emanate from the body. And the one sin, particularly, that you will pay for in this world, for the Scripture says, all sin is without the body, save the sin of illicit fornication and adultery in sexual sins. So there goes your homosexuals and all the filth that would invite them into the churches and give them places. Now, if they repent, that's fine. If they can't help what's in their nature somehow, or say they can't, but abstain and preach against this, they'll be fine. Because they're born again and got the power. But there's also complete deliverance for those who have had homosexual spirits on them, because I've seen it done myself. In my own ministry, I've seen a woman delivered who just could not help herself, but from that time on, she was able to help herself. Verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also made manifest to your conscience. That Paul is saying here, look, I'm vindicated to say this. It's a vindicated word. Now, these are the two scriptures that led him as a universal proposition to make his statement and combine two other verses of Scripture, which are in Acts 17:31 and Romans 2:16. Also Isaiah 33:22. That's peripheral. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Now remember, you are talking about judgment. You are talking about all men must die. So therefore you are talking in a period, which could be a lengthy period, that is progressive until every single person dies and every single person is judged. Now, I know when you read this, you simply say, well, everybody's going to die. They'll come up in the white throne judgment, giving us a generalization, hogwash. Because you can be in the first resurrection and not die. Just stand right here, change the immortality according to 1 Corinthians 15, about verse 48 to about 52 and 3. You don't have to die. What is telling you here, sure and certain is there is death, there is going to be that judgment. And remember, in this last day, the theme, the great theme, one of the great themes of Brother Branham's message was that which proved his vindication. Not just Brother Branham's vindication, that God had vindicated himself to Brother Branham and Brother Branham vindicated the world, but all based upon the fact that Jesus was risen from the dead. For if God now was operating in the flame of fire through a prophet doing the same thing he did when he operated through the human flesh, or not the human so much, but it was human, the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ, then it is proven that that one in whom he dwelt was raised from the dead. And he is down here right now putting everything under that son's feet. And the son is not comatosed. He's on the father's throne waiting. I know people think, well, we're talking out of both sides of our mouth. You do what you want to do. Do what you want to think. That's the truth. Well, I can read scripture. Well, read your scripture. See, I'm not a hard guy to get along with. You can believe anything you want. Do what you want. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Now, we'll read, of course, here in Isaiah 33 and 22. And it said, for the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. Then it says, the Lord is our king, he will save us. Now that's something right there. The word of the Lord is such that no man ever lived it outside of Jesus Christ. And no man ever will live it outside of Jesus Christ. So it tells you right here, when you stand before God, you are standing liable. But being your king, he'll save you in spite of any judgment. Also, you'll notice that because he's your king, he will show you favor. As the Bible said, God not imputing our sins to us. David did not say, blessed is the man who doesn't sin. He said, blessed is that man who, when he does sin, God will not impute to him his iniquities. And David was the type of the prophet king. And if anybody needed salvation and knew about it, King David did. All right. In this day, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Let's just look at the scripture and find out a couple things. We go to Hebrews chapter 4. And we know, and we can get the two films here, where Brother Branham was in the discerning line. Hebrews 4 and 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now, you got to read the whole thing and understand this book. And I don't care who reads it. Does not fulfill any portion of what is said here. It's with the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So if he's not here with his eyes, how many eyes are there? Seven sets of eyes. Huh? Book of Revelation. How many spirits? Seven. What are those eyes of the Lord running to and fro throughout the earth? Spirit of God moving the word amongst men, of some which are prophets, not all. I will explain some of that as time goes by. If you catch it, that'd be great. All right. With that, now notice what it says here, for the word of God is quick and powerful. Discern thoughts and intents of the heart. You read it. The Bible said our hearts are so wicked, who can know them? Only God can try the reins of our heart. And Brother Branham stood there and said, you couldn't hide if you tried. And he proved that judgment was on now and in the earth by the word of God. And it wasn't William Branham trying to tell people, you've got to come to my standard and do what I do. It was the word of God being proven. Neither is there any creature, anything, any sight that's not naked. At the end time, they're all naked. Under what conditions are they naked? Under this condition here. Wretched, miserable, blind, naked. Don't know. Hee, 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 said the women. When he said, every time I come, your hair is shorter and you're wearing men's clothes. Hee, hee, hee. Isn't that wonderful? What if you were before a judge in this, or a jury in this area here that hated you? Wanted to see you behind bars. The judge looks up and said, every time I've talked to you people and brought you in here, you wax worse and worse. Hee, 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 judge, isn't that funny? Ho, ho, ho. Oh, you'd be doing it, wouldn't you? And I would be doing, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Showing we're completely insane. Completely deluded. Completely chapped. Completely no life. Completely serpent seed. Completely citizens of hell. It only takes one word off to do that. I'll explain that later on too, right in this very message. We go to 2 Thessalonians. I'm not being dramatic. You wait till the real drama comes. When the real drama comes, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. We hate him, but hate us. And they'll gnaw their tongues in pain and anguish and blaspheme the God of heaven. Well, you look pretty complacent, Sonny, and so what do we have for lunch? Are we like the whore that commit adultery? Like eating a piece of bread, wipes your mouth. Was nice. I'm going to stand before the four judgment. I'm not blaming you or saying anything about you. I'm not saying about myself. First of all, they mistook Brother Branham. They thought he was some kind of a prude. Because he had a gift, he could speak down on people. Because I may have a way with words and can use biting, bitter illustrations. It doesn't mean I'm justifying myself and I've got anything. That's nothing to do with it. So we go to 2 Thessalonians. And we read. 1st chapter, 7th verse. And you that are troubled, rest with us. Have peace. Where are you going to get your peace? Well, they say, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth unto you. Let not your hearts trouble, neither let it be afraid. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Yoke upon you. Yoke. That means two people joined together like two oxen, two horses. Two asses, mules, whatever. And even goats. You could yoke two dogs. That means you got something common between them. Pulling the same way. Peace. I ask you what peace is. You know what peace is? It's fruit of the Spirit, right? Right? Oh, I read it. I read in Galatians. Come on. How many kind of pieces are they? I don't say P-I-E-S, P-I-E-C-S. I say P-E-A-C-S. Well, so, Brother Bill, that could be the peace of God. Establish your hearts and mind is different. Oh, come on, come on. The love of God's 18 different ways. The peace of God is 18 different ways of raising God. Come on, come on, come on. Fruit of the Spirit, right? Okay. How do you get the Spirit? Well, Brother Bill, I speak in tongues. I get sensations and I hear from God. I want you to shut up. You don't belong here. You don't belong here. Why do you come? You got no wedding garment on. You don't get chucked out anyway. If I'm in that category, I get chucked out. And the more I stand here and preach this truth, and I know it's the truth, and you know it's the truth, the greater the obligation, the greater your judgment. The harder and further you'll be thrown for a longer length of time. For they that know much and have much, much of them is required. So, the baptism with the Holy Ghost, the full measure, baptism, comes by piling word upon word upon word upon word upon word. And the conduit of the Holy Ghost naturally is the flesh. Supernaturally is the word. How are you going to have the peace of God and not have His word? Now let me prove it. I know what I'm talking about. You that are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. Now that's the truth. You can't lie about it. It's here. In flames of fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. And at the same time, avenging those that know God. Right? Babel. Jesus said so. And Paul said, you better remember the pure words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What's this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? When He shall come to be glorified in His saints and be admired in all them that believe because of our testimony among you in that day. And it says right here, in that day when God shall judge the souls of men, the secrets of men, by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Brother Branham was taken beyond the curtain of time. An actual vision, just like Paul caught up to the third heaven, saw those things, he could come back and tell us. And he said, who are all these people? They said, they're yours. Well, he said, how could they be? Well, he said, according to the gospel, you brought them in to salvation. And he said, I'd like to see Jesus. Well, you can't. But He will come to you and judge you, and then judge you by what you preached. He said, I preached what Paul preached. And they all screamed, we're depending on that. Now you can say what you want, this is the scripture. The seals have been opened. The thunder's thundered. The revelation is here. Brother Branham categorically said, just think how marvelous, the same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul as you're revealing it. Every single thing he said wound up by saying, the bride has already judged. You are the righteous, sinless, perfect bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. You didn't even do it. You're tricked into it. And again he said, under the seven seals, when the seven thunders were, you had everything to put you in a rapture. That's Paul's gospel. In the day of Paul, they went off on three different tangents, another spirit, another word, another Jesus. Then today we are back to the true words of the true Jesus through the true Spirit. That's why Brother Branham could preach on the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, which was not simply an anointing. So you know where we stand today. With these same scripture, Brother Branham used John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, the Word was God, and the Word was God. And he positively said, if you make the Logos or the Word Jesus, you have got three gods. So he was telling you right here that the Rhema Logos became flesh. Now the thing is, how did he become flesh? Oh, well, now we become Jesus only, or Trinity. Yeah. Listen, sit with me and listen. I'm going to try to get you across this as easy as I can. Do you know, brother, sister, I can read to you what I have already read. Now, Brother Branham said, oh, back in the days of, oh, ancient days, you know, looking at the stars, the zodiac, they looked at those things. Today, he's got his Bible written here, but he wrote in the heavens. That man would look up and realize that Jehovah, the Creator, was above. Do you know he used the word there out of actual chronology? It should have been Elohim. Because the word Jehovah comes later. And the book of Isaiah is full of Jehovah Elohim. But Jehovah and Elohim is the same person. It's just a matter of the great unfolding drama. The greatness that lay in him, which lies in two functions. One is omniscience and one is omnipotence, which in themselves can be destructive, mad, and horrible. But he's got a third thing, nature, which is love. Love worketh no will to his neighbor, let his own his wife and children. Jehovah Creator was above him. And then I can see him. He looked at that. And I can see the seed of this world. In other words, the start, the origin of this world hanging there as an icicle. Whatever it was, way away. He moved it over there. I can see this little light go out. Now remember, his chronology is wrong again here. He explained his chronology. The light came before there was an atom or any creation by the Creator. And Paul the Apostle completely explained it over here in Hebrews. Let's go back and read it so nobody has to make any stupid comments which are not just. God, who at sundry times and divers manners, in many parts and many ways, spake in the time past unto the fathers in the prophets. Not by, though by is correct, but it's still incorrect. Because if he wasn't in the prophets, he wasn't speaking by the prophets. And that's what's wrong with the church. God is not in the church. So therefore, he's not speaking by the church. Huh? Yeah, thank you. These last days, God has spoken unto us in Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds, or the ages, who being the fulgence, the outflowing, the outraying of his glory, the expression of his person. It tells you the Son is a chunk of God. Huh? Or was he made up? There's nothing there to make it up, and he's there suddenly. What if I handed you a pot of clay and you put some water in it and that's all there is clay and water for being pliable and suddenly, magnificent. It's not only gold, no, it's not platinum, it's better still, it's plutonium and I can blow the world up or get my fortune by selling it to the North Koreans or anybody else. I'd say, boy, are you nuts. You don't only have hallucinations, you've got cross-eyed hallucinations. Ain't no such thing. That's still a lump of clay. So Jesus absolutely was a chunk or a part of God. And that's what I got challenged. You say, well, Lee, you say there's two of them. I said, yeah. Well, two personalities make two gods. I said, no. Well, Brother Branham didn't say it. Let's find out what Brother Branham said. And I can see, now we got two now. He says, now twice. I can see this little light go out. Now we got two now. The Father, and out of the Father came the light, the Son. Somebody now owes me apology, but needs to apologize to some of you. Huh? When are you going to stand up for Jesus, brother, sister? Just not get hot under the collar, but get hot. Period. Remologos. We've got too many harebrained theologians that try to separate remologos. If you want, we'll spend an hour. I'll just bring up my concordance. And I'll show you the words are interchangeable. And I'll show you Brother Branham used them interchangeable. Just as I can show you in Isaiah, all through Isaiah, is Jehovah Elohim, Jehovah Elohim, Jehovah Elohim. So now Jehovah Elohim become Jehovah. Sure, the same way as your son. Become a husband, become a father, become a grandfather, become a great-grandfather, then become dead. And the life that made you what you were goes back to God, and He does what He wants with it. You see, I'm preaching very, very simple, and I need simple-minded people to listen. I've been accused of being a brilliant person with a big education. I got news for you. Hogwash. My preaching is very simple. The trouble is, it's different from people's understanding. If when I say red, then you perceive yellow, how are you going to understand it? Did you hear what I read? Huh? That was the weakest amen I ever heard in my life. Did you hear what I said?
Amen.
Thank you. Now I know we're going someplace. Can't tell where, but we're going someplace. I can see this little light go out. That is, go out of the God. Now we got two now. The Father. And out of the Father came the light, the Son. No Jesus-only preacher ever said the Father talked to the Son or the Son to the Father. It was always the Son being the Father and the Son being His own Father, and He talked to Himself. And I'm going to tell you flat right here what confuses people. Brother Branham did preach on the Godhead more like he was Jesus-only than he preached this way. That's right. All the quotes in the church ages, even. Oh, come on. Where is this beauty right here? All right. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. He used that one. If that's not a Jesus only, I've never heard it. I used the same one. He used it. But he wasn't saying what the Jesus only thought. And now the Trinitarians have all gone Jesus only. But he that hath the Son hath the Father. Now if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. And he said, he that seeth me has seen the Father. And Brother Branham said, you're looking at me, aren't you? That ought to blow the Jesus only plumb out of the water and make them go crazy. But no, they're not. They'll not go crazy. They'll stand right here and they'll say, I'll say, read it. Say, my God, that sounds insane. I never said it. William Branham said the whole world's nuts but us. You do what you... If you're on my preaching, hey, you got to stay here. I'm ruffling a cob and I don't care two bits. I'm not here to offend anybody. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm not pulling my punches for anybody. And I am not a pastor. If I were to not pull my punches for things that I know... You wouldn't be happy with me. This is just doctrine. Bringing it all together, it is evident that God, like all the judges of the world, would have no status or right outside of a definitive word that would either justify or condemn and set the appropriate degrees of exaltation, honor, and glory, or demotion, which would be punishment, disfavor, length of time, in contrast to the exaltation, promotion, continual pleasure, we found that the first two chapters in Romans to go into a very detailed account of the judgments of God, going back to Noah, coming up to this very hour in which we live. There has to be an omega. You read all about Noah. And I want to tell you again, many years ago, the chronologist said, I don't know if it was Usher or who it was, but the chronologist, when I was only in my 20s, said at the time of Noah, when they took the genealogies and projected from the genealogies, they found there was at least 5.5 billion people on earth when 8 people made the ark, and there's 5.5 billion today. It doesn't mean it has to be exactly that way. We're getting awful close. The very type I used, 8 people made the ark, is the same as 8 people standing here truly full of the Holy Ghost. How many people are there today? That's just the type. How many? I don't know. But we talked about Malachi, didn't we? And Brother Branham used Malachi. So let's begin to look at Malachi. Because now we have a repeat of the days of Noah. But remember, the Word of God said, I will not use water again, but I will use fire. In the 4th chapter, behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. All the proud, ye all that do wickedly, and all shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts. And it shall neither leave neither root nor branch. And Brother Branham said, how then can you have an eternal hell? And he took this white right to the white throne. Why? Because it's a day. Now listen to me again. A man wrote the other day. And he said, Brother Bale, I'm confused. He said, I hear Brother Branham say this. The week of Daniel is 7 years. And he said, people tell me it's 3.5 and this and that. And I wrote and I told him, I said, listen, son, I'm going to tell you something. The archaeologists, the chronologists know that even a part of a day was called a day. A part of an hour is called an hour. A part of a minute is called a minute. So therefore, a part of a week is the whole week. So therefore, in the midst of the week, when he was cut off leaving 3.5, it's still called a week. And therefore, in the midst of that. Now, I don't think he's going to get it. I hope he does. Now, can you follow me? Well, I don't know if I can, but let me put it this way. The Word of God distinctly says, Jesus himself, if Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And yet he was crucified on Friday. Friday to Saturday's one. Saturday to Sunday's two. He rose Monday morning, hogwash. He was crucified about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's one whole day. He was in the grave the second day. He rose the early part of the third. 3 days. And Brother Branham said it means within. That man did not know what I know. He had not studied what I had studied. He had not studied any theologians, because the theologians don't teach that. I got it from an archaeologist. Woo! Glory! Listen, I want to tell you, I'm Pentecostal right now, but not chaff. I should all go out the window except this Word of God that I'm standing on, brought by a prophet. Amen. That's the truth. As it so happens, these two chapters in Romans are the repeat scripture in the Old Testament of the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. And it's over here in Deuteronomy 28:15-29. And are epitomized as the omega in 2 Thessalonians 1:7-10, which I read. But going back to the book of Deuteronomy. Now, I'm going to leave out the blessings. Remember, the Mount Abel was blessing, and Mount Gerizim was I beg your pardon. Mount Abel was cursing, and Mount Gerizim was blessing. Now, the sheep go on the right hand, the goats go on the left hand. The sheep, as it were, they're not the very elect, the foolish virgin. They go to the right hand. They are given eternal life. What all that means, I cannot tell you. I have my own ideas, but I don't know. I'm right, so why should I talk about them? We're not here to suppose. Those on the left hand depart into the lake of fire. They are the serpent seed. Okay, right down the line, you have a bad situation. So therefore, when God comes on the scene, he's got a left hand and a right hand. He's got a blessing and a cursing. As the man said, let us ask God to come. In the sense, let God send something. Let us feel his presence. Let us know that God is with us. And let us see if he leaves us a blessing or a curse. Now, he can't do both. In an evening of blessing, he can chastise. He can make us appreciate him more and appreciate his word. There's many ways he trains us. As it says, he that suffers in the flesh ceases from sin. Yeah, I quit coffee when I had enough. Couldn't even put my hands like this. Talk about pain, my knuckles just going to pieces. You'll cease. Yeah. Well, I'll read, I'll spare you. But it shall come to pass in verse 15, that thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. If you will not listen to his words, you won't get a blessing at all to observe his commandments. Now, observe doesn't mean to just do them. It means to stand back, look at them, meditate, understand, then enter in. Brother Brand said, people just don't wait long enough. That's the whole trouble. The guy out gathering sticks, God said, if they do any work on the Sabbath, they deserve death. Well, the guy just picked a couple of sticks to cook a dinner. They said, this looks entirely wrong, but our sense of justice, why, this, said they, in 20th century language, would be cruel and unreasonable punishment. Yeah. Everybody does it. Why should I get AIDS? Yeah. Where do you think those teachers and preachers and men are going to stand when the little kids got AIDS? And how are they going to stand when you got little boys like White that didn't do anything wrong? They gave him an injection like Ash, the tennis player. Fine, fine man. They gave him blood full of AIDS. Oh, well, no big thing. Other guys didn't get it. Yeah? Yeah? Is that what life was all about? Tell a lie because, oh, well, shrug it off. Get out of it. No. To observe all these commandments and these statutes which I command this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. See, you won't get, listen, you can do what you want. You can get all the cures you think you got. They're not going to get rid of it. Oh, they got rid of TB. They came right back someplace else. Oh, man, we got rid of that scourge. Oh, yeah, we got rid of, what else was it? Chickenpox. Oh, did you? Curse itself, if thee be in the city, curse itself, thou be in the field, in thy basket, in thy store, in the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind, the flock of thy sheep. When you come in and when you go out, the Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke. In all that thou doest, thine hand unto, thou settest thy hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken me. Where did they forsake him? They forsook the word. The Lord shall make thy pestilence, the pestilence cleave unto thee, until he hath consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, with the fever, with an inflammation. That sounds like AIDS, doesn't it? And an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, yeast infection. How many had it? Oh, come on, raise your hands. I got mine up. You never had a like me. I took an overdose. I wanted to die. I didn't care to live. I lay for months trying to sleep and I couldn't sleep. I went through hell. There wasn't a lousy Catholic priest even praying me out of it. And there wasn't a Pentecostal to pray the prayer of faith. So one day trying to get a bit of rest, Harold Marconda, God bless his soul, driving me around like a voice said, I'll see you through. I said, Harold, I'm going to make it. Yeah. I consider myself a Christian, a born-again person. One Brother Branham said, see, Lee, you'd be back with me, I know, because you're seen. So I didn't hear him say it. I don't care what you heard or anybody else heard. It doesn't bother me. You do what you want about it. Take your encouragement out of a bottle of beer or a glass of whiskey or some denominational junk. Go ahead. I stand with the prophet of God. You do what you want. You're going to do it. Everybody does what he wants. Burning, blasting, and they'll do. They shall pursue thee, thou perish. Who's they? It can be the devil in hell or the devils or anybody else. He doesn't name it. We say, well, he's talking about these diseases. That's right, they do. Hear what I'm saying? Do you hear what I'm saying? Yeah. I can show you this is for the end times. I can be hours on this subject. I get my concordance out, take every verse of scripture. We can take the next 6 weeks solid, I'm sure. I can talk a long time, I can make it last. Like you need a whole lot more than that. And thy heaven that is over thy head should be brass. That's the book of Revelation, right? And the earth that's under thee should be iron, also. Between a rock and a hard place. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. And the heaven, and from heaven it shall come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And thou shalt be moved from unto all the kings of the earth. And thy carcass shall be meat for the fowls. Revelation 20. And unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. Can't scare them off. The Lord will smite thee with the botch. What's the botch? Burning. Ulcer. Boil, inflammation. You know, today, brother, sister, even the Christians are being horsewhipped by conditions that the world brought on. Why do you think I got yeast infection the way I did? Because the doctors pumped me full of penicillin. And in Canada, you can buy it over the counter. In Mexico, the same way, no problem. Doctors don't give a rip. They wouldn't give me anything natural, no, because you can't make much money on nature. You can't patent it. No. And he said, you'll not be healed either. The Lord shall might smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment in the heart, and thou shalt grope at noontide as the blind grope in the darkness. Thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. Hoodie, 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 ho. Hoodie, ho. Huh? You know what I'm thinking, don't you? Huh? Let's talk. Even from the days of your father are you gone from mine ordinances and not kept them. Return unto me now, return, you saith the Lord. But you said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you robbed me. But he said, where are we robbed in tithes and offering? He said, have you robbed me in tithes and offering? You're cursed with a curse, you robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes in the storehouse and there'll be need in my house and prove me now, rest to the Lord of the hosts. He said, all the tithes. So there you go, talking for money, am I? Want to examine my books and my record? I'll put every one you put together to shame. I'm not lying to you. I'm not lying. You challenge me? Come on. I'll get the books. I'm actually robbing others, like Paul did. Should we go to court? No problem.
No problem. I'm not afraid of IRS, the government, or anybody else. Because I'm not afraid of God. I've made everything right with the Lord, far as I know. And see if I'll open the windows of heaven for your blessing. You better see. Now I want to ask you a question. Has anybody in this church ever heard me ask you for money? To put the be on you to give money and to oppress you. Let me see your hand if you have. The little lady that sat there writes a lady in Edmonton. See, I know a lot of people. And she said, Lee Bailey's got the church under subjection, tyrannizing them, taking their money. A lot of people are happy to be there. We have men in this congregation right today. They will tell you I have no mortgage on that house there. Yet how much money did I put in 4 installments, Dave?
$400,000.
Yeah, but not that first amount, not that amount. $40,000. Solid cash. For one purpose. To save you people. I'm a jackass and a fool to try to do it all. I'm going to tell you something. I'll not stand guilty, and I'll see that woman shortly. And all her friends will believe all the lies. Well, I shouldn't feel bad because Brother Branham said my teaching ministry was just as well received as his, and he didn't have any reception. I've not taught anything concerning money except from the depth of my heart, and I know what I'm talking about. I don't think there's one person in this building who has friends like mine who'd lay their necks on the line for me and say, Brother Bale, here's $50,000 without interest. Use as long as you want. If I said to the man, later on, sir, I wish I could pay it, I couldn't. He said, Brother Dale, I wanted a gift anyway. I'm not boasting, I'm just telling you. You can't beat God at his own word. You can't change one word of God. You cannot analyze and get a revelation on your own. You must read the word and in your heart. You've got to come to that place. My Bible tells me if you cannot handle the unrighteous mammon, who will give you the true riches? I want to ask you this morning, what are the true riches? I have my idea, you have yours. And I'm telling you right here, this, what we're talking about, is the judge. Is the judge. You'll be oppressed and spoiled evermore. No man shall save thee. Thou shalt betroth a wife, another shall lie with her. Marriage and divorce. Can't even get the woman that belongs to you. Somebody else will get her. So, Brother Bale, I'll get the right in the millennium. Nice. But it can be hell living with the wrong one now, selling you down the river. And you fighting and fussing. Come on, don't think I know that some women wouldn't divorce their husbands except they got a conscience. Some men the same way. I can tell you something. My wife and I aren't perfect. We don't get along perfection. And most of it's my fault because she has problems which I don't have. Her mind is not what it should be. But for me to want to leave her or not be a parent, I should have blown my brains out. It all started with the word of God. It all went to hell when they got off the first word. All right. That is the Alpha. I read again the Omega that you might know. And I hope you'll sit here till I'm finished. You go home. I don't give a rip. Turn the tape if you have to. I'm going to cover certain things because I'm going to get finished what I want to tell you, because I've got to put it together so you'll understand the things that Brother Branham said. At least you'll understand what I'm saying from what I think he is saying or believe him saying or I've heard him saying. Maybe I don't know. Now, it tells you right here in 2 Thessalonians, you will have peace, relaxation, at the time when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed in heaven with his mighty angels. That's Jehovah, Jehovah's Savior. Who did Brother Branham say came down the Garden of Eden as a Savior to save his children? God did, Elohim. And he said, the same one is here now, so shut up and say what the prophet said. And say, well, Brother Bill, I can read. You cannot read. Because the Bible said there come a day when they say, open the book and read. He said, I can't read. Because I wouldn't know what I was reading. Is that Bible? Come on, how many remember that? Oh, thank you. I got some live people here. I just say that to wake you up. You know why I love you. Or do I? Yes, I do. You think I wouldn't be here? I'd be here if I didn't love you? You might not know this. All day and all night pretty well. 7 days out of the week, maybe except one bit on Wednesday night. I would sooner be someplace else just forgetting everything. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and avenging those that do, that obey not the gospel of Lord Jesus. What's obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ? There's two sides, passive and active. Why should you do anything you don't believe in? And why should you not do what you do believe in? All right. Who should be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, right at the moment of that appearing, his presence. The banishment starts until it says, when the white throne comes, the heavens and the earth fled, and there was no place for them. Hogwash. That's not what it could possibly mean, because they're standing right there on that earth. The secret is, there was no place to hide. And William Branham said, I defy you, try to hide. 5,000, 5 million, it don't matter. Just raise that thought of yours. You can't read me, Brother Branham. Zero right and see your name is so-and-so, you live so-and-so, and I'll tell you what's in your lousy, stinking heart. Huh? And then some of you would like to do something else. You just kind of like to leave and forget everything. Well, Brother Dale, you said it. Have I left? Have I forgotten? Now stick around. If you want to. Huh? Just punish the everlasting destruction. And from the glory of his power. What's the glory of his power? Resurrection. Ephesians 1, read it from 17 on. When he shall have come to be glorified in his saints and be admired all in the belief, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Not that Paul was among them, but the Word was among them. So that's the Omega. Judgment. All right, now before we go into the New Testament, or the Omega, judgment, proper. We want to go now to Revelation 1 and the 12th chapter. How many? Good, we got enough. The Revelation, no, beginning of 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. Brother Branham said he turned to see if it was a spiritual voice. How can you tell? Except there'd be someone there to tell you. And there always has been somebody to tell. Seven church ages, seven messages. From seven messengers. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. How many candlesticks did he see? Seven, right? What do those seven candlesticks mean? Seven church ages, right? Then he saw from the first stage, right, to the last stage, right? Huh? He saw it all. Did he? I ask you a question. Read the next part. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto, is really not the Son of Man, but a Son of Man, clothed with the garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps of the golden, with a golden girdle. The question now arises, whoever this one is, has he been what he is there from the first stage to the last stage? Or was he only in the midst of the candlesticks, number one and number seven, if indeed he was? Now we're going to find out just how astute you people are. Whether you follow me, read because you sit here, because you love the word and you can follow, or you just have some place to go. In the meantime, you can blow all your steam off someplace else doing what you want to do. But you come to church and justify yourself. To get the picture, I'm asking you a question. When Brother Branham will explain first of all, well, let's read it. A garment down to the foot, the girt about the paps with the golden girdle. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass if they burned in the furnace, and his voice as a sound in many waters, and his right hand seven stars. Huh? What hand? Aha! He hasn't got a left hand anymore, has he? Huh? Left hand disappeared, right? No left hand. Wrong. Wrong. He got a left hand. Never had anything but left hand, right hand. Right hand, left hand. He's got 2 feet, though it says down to the foot. Only got one head. One set of hair, one set of eyes. Feet, fine brass, burned to furnace, right hand, seven stars. What's in his left? Nothing. So all of his power, and no left hand to be used, everything he has is for this church, the seven churches. And for seven church ages, he's in their midst. Now, Brother Branham asked Jack Moore. He said, who is he? Well, he said, that's the glorified Christ. He said, Brother Branham said, that didn't strike me right. Boy, that'd be bait for anybody. Yeah, I said, hell do you, that's it. It wasn't it. It's the judge. Now I ask you a question. Has he been in the midst of the churches for seven church ages? If you say no, you're lying. Is he the same yesterday, today, and forever? If you say no, you're lying. The next question is, what is he? He's judge. Then what has he been to the church for seven solid ages? Tell me. Then why aren't they preaching him? This is not a phenomenon at the last age. The phenomenon is the revelation judge. Now, let's take a look at the judge. We read enough, so we go to second chapter. Unto the messenger of the church of Ephesus write, these things he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand. Unto the messenger, God using a prophet, the prophet Paul. Now what does he say? Who is saying it? The judge is saying it. We in America have a whole bunch of laws made by a bunch of idiots. Made full of loopholes for the lobbyists. And any law that man makes is fallible because he reasons and he thinks he knows the future and can somehow by his word hold the future together, and they're all liars. Clinton knows he's a liar. The leader of the House knows he's a liar. Dole knows he's a liar. Glenn knows he's a liar. Metzenbaum ought to. He'll likely swear he isn't. You haven't got one guy there that's not a liar, top-notch liar. It's exactly what Goldwater said. He said, if you're going to get rid of the men that drink and have women, he said, close Washington down. He ought to know. Now, they may not be liars in the sense that they're deliberately lying, but they will deliberately go with the party which gives them a double heart. Hypocrites. You haven't got hardly a man who'll stand up with truth. They can't do it. Or they're out of power. I don't want to condemn every single person out of hand, but the thing is we have a terrible mess there. What I'm showing you here is the judge of all the earth in Genesis 18 wrote the book, Be a Judge. Shall not the judge of all the world do right? And the law wasn't even written. So the judge is telling you here, I am a judge in seven church ages, and there comes a time when I sit finally, and the whole world gets judged. In the meantime, the church is always judged first because judgment begins at the house of God. Then it says, the righteous scarcely be saved. Where shall the sinner and the unregenerate appear, the wicked appear? Well, you know where they'll appear. Now he says, these things says the judge that holds the seven stars, the seven churches, or the right, pardon, the seven messengers in his right hand. So therefore, the power and authority of Almighty God rests in seven people who represents the judge. Now, what does the judge say? I know thy works, thy labors, thy patience. You can't bear you. There you are. You tried to say they're apostles and are not. You born with patience. Thy namesake, my namesake have all labored and have not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Now, he does not destroy that church. He lays to rest his messenger. He gathers in his sheep. And every one of the first age, both wise and foolish virgin, are laid away according to the word of God because they are judged. On what grounds are they judged? All right. I know your labors. Okay, they did a lot of good things. And your patience. I know how you waited. You can't bear them that are evil, like Cain. Oh, good, good, good. You tried them that are apostles. False. Like, brothers, that went over like a lead balloon, he said. And they said, just a minute now, we're not false apostles. How do you dare call us that? He said, because Paul called you that. And you are the living manifestation of his description. So get out. And you wouldn't, you made them liars. And hast borne. You took what they handed you. You had patience. You waited. For my name's sake, you labored. You haven't paid it. Hold it, though. You left your first love. Now, how in the world did God know they left their first love, and they know from this they left their first love, if there isn't something somewhere that's a clue?
I don't have a clue.
Oh, I don't have a clue. You mean God wrote a Bible that doesn't have a clue and he judges you? You think he's some fricasseed, stupid, half-drunk, or three-quarter drunk, insane judge? And you come by and you make a U-turn and there's not even a sign there? Ha-ha, $50. Judge, there's not even a sign.
Oh, I don't care. The law says that.
Well, just a minute. I've got to know somehow about it.
Oh, doesn't mean a thing. So God writes something, says, doesn't mean a thing. Wasn't that a good joke on you? Ha, ha, ha. That's how I always do things. I get my little kicks out of that.
You mean you kicked me into hell and it's fun? No, he said, How could he say that when he said, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked? I'd be criticized by the great preachers for my preaching, but you get what I'm saying, and you get it real good, and you'll stand before God how I preach, lousy as I preach. You get what I say. You left it. Now he said, remember from whence thou art fallen. Well, Lord, I don't even know what I fell from. How can I remember? That's just another way I do things. Catholic priest reads the Bible for you, like funny does. He reads pornography, and he's a pedophile and drinks liquor that he can't stand, at least some of them do. They don't know anything. But they'll judge you because there's money in it. Now, if you like, I'll fulfill the little girl's prophecy. I'll forgive you everything I taught this morning, and you're blameless. Just give me a big offering out there, and I'll offer you the door. And I'll see you don't come back. I don't need your money. I don't need anything except God's grace. Remember! How can I remember when I don't even know what I'm supposed to remember? When did you ever say it? Oh! When I was in prison, you didn't come. When I was sick, you didn't come. When I was hungry, you didn't come. Oh, there's a time they knew, brother, sister. When? The judge has always been in the church because he is the Word. He is the judge. How long we got now? How many? Okay. Keep your fingers crossed and keep the tape back. Okay, we go to Daniel. Next week we start on a new sentence. Isn't that fantastic? Number 7 and number 9. Till I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was as white as snow, and hair of his head like pure wool, and his throne like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. So who is that one in the midst of the church? Almighty God himself, the Ancient of Days. Yep. Always standing with his word, always judging. And if people forget or they're taught wrong, he is duty bound for that hour to give them the correct teaching. For how can the sheep hear his voice if there's no voice? How can they follow if nothing has been heard? How can they lie down in the green pastures beside the still waters if he's not feeding and leading them by his word, because therein the Holy Ghost resides, and therein are the 9 fruits of the Spirit. And you can talk about love, love, love. You love this, all these Pentecostals? Doesn't matter what you do, we just love you anyway. But when it's done to them, watch it. Pentecostal pussycat. The minute you go backwards. Scratch your cotton picking eyes up. Thank you, Willie. You're with me. Yeah. All right, listen. So the thrones were cast down. Thrones. When did the throne start to be cast down and communism took over? Huh? When did God begin to come more and more on the scene? Huh? More and more into his church. Until the Spirit was back here, full Holy Ghost Spirit back here in full word capstone. All right. Okay. Verse 13, I saw in the night vision, behold, one like the Son of Man. There again, one like the Son of Man. That's what John saw. Came with clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him before, near before him. And there was given unto him a kingdom and glory and honor, king of all peoples and nations. It tells you right there. Somebody came before somebody. Not two gods. And his kingdom shall not pass away and be destroyed. In other words, that very one has to come before the judge. that's in John here, Revelation, the first chapter, and in Daniel 7:9, absolutely he has to come to claim what's his. Okay, verse 22. Until the ancient of days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. It tells you right there, there's always been a judge. Always the judge. But at the end time, remember, it is no longer ancient history. It is now fact. And Brother Branham told us, every single age, a prophet came at the end of an age. Like Israel is gone. Israel gone. Came prophet. Paul. They disbelieved that prophet. God laid his servant to rest. He laid his saints to rest. And he sent a pagan judgment. Then the next one comes. And the next one. Till the last one comes. He himself came with his prophet. Now you try to tell me White Throne isn't here. Well, Brother Dale, I just don't understand chronology. Who asked you to? I got a little bottle called Optimist that cleans glasses. Now, Peter isn't here and Rusty, and I don't think they could tell me anyway. I'd like to know. Give me the 100% ingredients that's in the ink on the bottle, the plastic that is the bottle, and the gunk that's inside. Nobody can do it. Yet here it is, and there you see it. And then you're trying to tell me you've got to understand instead of just listen when it comes to the things of God. You haven't caught a thing that's gone on in this age. And I haven't either. If I stand in that terrible mist. Now listen, the ancient of days. The word days means continually, a continuation, continuity, as in nature, as in day and night. Day and night, seed time and harvest, continuity. The word ancient means, number one, venerable or ancient. It comes from the word meaning removed, as in weaned, which means grown up, knows how to act and does it. Also means ancient. The third one, for where the second one comes from, figuratively, grow old. But specifically, it means to transcribe, copy, write out, then leave off, become old, and remove. In plain English, God the judge put this word here and said, that's it forever. Backed off and stood there and said, now, there it is. Ancient of days. Why days? Because when eternity finally becomes eternity, you and Brother Branham said, the bride is around the throne, the Lamb is on the throne, the pillar of fire above the throne, and before they call, he answers. There are no more laws, just answers. Now, Brother Branham was telling the people everything I'm telling you this morning. Now, if you care to. Now, we already did it. We went through the seven church ages. We are not going to worry about going through them anymore. And if you want to see the judge in action, we can turn a little bit, and this will exhaust our time. In the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation 12 and 17, it says, and I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth as hair, and the moon became blood, and the stars of heaven fell, and so on. And notice it says in verse 17, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who is able to stand? It tells you right there that the judgment itself is taking place since the judge has passed the sentence. Now you got in the world here, everybody saying, oh, the man, even though he has done terrible, terrible things, he shouldn't die with that terrible death. Why shouldn't he? Lexi, why do you think Israel died? Israel died because they got a king. They wanted a king instead of God and the prophet. That's all they wanted. And what did the king do? Just what God said he would do. And so he got all kinds of wives. And he got all the girls in there to do all the work. He got all the bakers. He got the footmen. He built himself a great and horrendous name. And here was old David with 499 wives and committing adultery with another man's wife and killing the man to have her. Boy, great! According to the word of God, David should have been killed by his own men. Let's face it. His son committed rape, the son's half sister.
Oh, boys will be boys.
His son rose in insurrection. He wouldn't do a thing about it until the son was killed. And then he, oh God, what happened? And his captain said, listen, shut up. You're mourning for your no good rotten son. And you're leaving the nation to die. Just exactly what Mr. Nixon did with his friend Mitchell. God said to David, you'll pay this the rest of your life. Judge, 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 judge. The question comes, who is here today? The judge, the role. The role he played all through the ages is now in the final stage. Why? Because judgment sets in. Listen, do you understand what we read? In the third chapter, I guess it is, of the book of Revelation. And the second chapter. He said, not with sustaining. He said, these are good, this is good. But you've got that woman Jezebel, a prophetess, seducing the people, committing fornication, near to idolatry. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication. She repented not. For this I'm telling you, I'm going to cast her and her daughters into the great tribulation. That's exactly true. Judge.
On what condition the judging word? There isn't any condition, brother, other than the word. We're going to close because our time has run out. And let's look at it and never, never forget what you heard this morning because it's the truth. And in the chapter 19, the heavens are opened. Behold, a white horse. Now notice, the white horse takes preeminence over him that's called faithful and true. And what does a horse signify? Power.
God coming forth in power, in and through the Son. In righteousness, He judges and makes war. God is righteous. His Word is righteous. We can't fight with it. I'm learning not to fight with it. Whatever He does is good by me in the sense I admit defeat. I may not be gracious in it, but I admit it. Eyes a flame of fire. Had many crowns, name written no man knew, vesture clothed and dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And what's he do? He's the judge. And what have we had in our midst today? The Word of God. And we've had the judge. The judge is here. Why aren't the preachers preaching about it? Why don't they understand rules? No, they all go back to offices in the Trinity. And they all become Jesus only. Why don't I want to bore you with that? That's my little pet fight, not yours. I'm not trying to intimidate you. If you don't know by now what's being preached and all, I'm just crazy wasting my time. But the fact is there, you see it. And Brother Branham told his people, like I told you, down in California, California, it's over. You're Capernaum. It's gone. You that call yourself by the name of angels, you that call yourself by the name of Jesus Christ, baptized into a Trinity, and say you honor that name and you pray it, everything else, you bear it in vain. You are judged now, and the word that I'm going to preach shows you. You are judged, and what I'm going to tell you, everything in this word is coming to pass now. Things that are written here are now, and they're going to be, because time and eternity is mixed. Do you realize if you're a child of God, born again, that little bit of eternity, eternal life, God's own life in here has been visited by the water from on high, more life to give you that double life, No longer your own spirit, no longer your own thinking, but entirely of God, and word upon word getting you out of here. And you've been judged by him that's faithful and true, the judge of all the earth doing right. It's a little bride. Little bride. Oh, millions now living won't die. Prophet said little. How little? I don't know. I'm going to be honest. I think when he said little, he meant standing here. Standing here that don't die. For years I've said the old guard is going. I look forward to die. Not that I especially want to die. It would be very ticklesome to be, you know, to be here. But hey, let's face it. From what I see, who needs it? You say, Brother Bear, what if you go where you didn't think you're going to go? What is staying here, prolonging the agony, going to make it any difference? It's going to be worse. Because if I'm lying now, I'm going to lie more tomorrow. The next Sunday, I'm going to lie a whole lot more. I want to come back and hear it? Who knows? We can really, really do some real good lying then. I can really tell you what the prophet didn't say. If you believe that, you'll stay home. If you believe I'm just illustrating, you'll be back like you always have been back. But there it is, brother, sister. Brother Branham wasn't fooling. He said, judgment's here. Third to last sermon he preached. And the last one was communion. Fellowship divine. These people couldn't communicate. It was all over. Let's rise and be dismissed. Grace eternal Father, we thank you again for your word of life, which we know is true. And we know, Lord, as the disciples finally came to the place, they said, you alone have the words of eternal life. Where else should we go? We know, Lord, from whence you came and where you go. At that time, I don't believe they really did, but it was a good confession they were beginning to catch on until they got sidetracked by events. And maybe, Lord, we get sidetracked by events. If we do, we pray that you'll forgive us and put blinders on our eyes. And you'll give us a few wasps and hornets to come by to stimulate us and just drive us out of these places where ignorance and indifference and the doldrums lie. To get us away from being lukewarm into red hot. I know you don't want us cold. That's ridiculous. We want us red hot, and we believe that, Lord, there's such a thing as being. Help us, Lord, to be red hot for you and your word, though we have no testimony for us and concerning ourselves. We are unprofitable servants. No matter what we do and how well we do it, we're still unprofitable servants, which is exactly true because we in ourselves can never do one single solitary thing, Lord, because of the flesh barrier. But we in ourselves, in our flesh, with the Holy Ghost coming through that word, Lord, can be pleasing unto you. Make us all pleasing this way, Lord. Whether in life and death, Lord, whether what the circumstances, to just look to this word, Lord, as that word looked to us and we become one and we love it, live it, swim with it. That's the way it's going to go. Father, help us. Heal the sick amongst us. Inspire those, Lord, with the inspiration that is needed. And let people know, Lord, that this is it. And there's no sacrifice too great to make for it. If this isn't it, there's nothing, Lord. Father, we know there's weakness in every one of us. Weakness to walk away by circumstances. Too much effort to come. Too far, too this, too that. Kids bother. Everything bothers, Lord. Then we begin to wonder what was there in the first place. Because, Lord, we know nothing bothered you. We're supposed to have your spirit, be like you. Just one thing, that word, my Father's will, which is your word. Help us, Lord, to get away from being constant doers of the wrong thing, but constant believers in the right thing, and empowered by the life of that right word within us, Lord, to begin to come to where you want us to be, not even what we think. Because we become judges of ourselves, then that is as evil, Lord, I know, in the face of what you say, is to judge somebody else. Not judges at all. If we're going to judge, let it be discernment to see the truth and the righteousness and contradistinction to evil and to praise your great and holy name because you gave it to us. And that's the crux of the whole matter, Lord. Help us, therefore, now to enter in to the rest of the Holy Spirit flowing through your word as it never has been before, walking in the light as you're in the light, having fellowship one another, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansing us from all sin. Bless every person here, I pray, Lord. May there not be one bit of difference between any of us, but every single one of us washed in the blood, filled with the Holy Ghost, piling word upon word, marching with full strength and design, not thinking in any way, how can we take our hands off the plow? How can we turn back? How can we diminish? Lord God, if anybody has that in his heart or mind, or in any way would put a stumbling stone before anybody, I can't do it, Lord. But you with your Spirit can show the terror that lies ahead for any person in that condition, having seen and known what we know today. Lord, that puts me in a very bad spot. You know that. That's why I want to be right in all these things. No matter what anybody does to me, it matters only what I do to them. My reaction, how all these things are. So help us this morning, Father, to really get right with you. And that's what we want, and knowing to be right. The only way is by that word, Lord, revealed and manifested, empowered by the Holy Spirit, God in heaven. Help us in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. Take the